Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is WEEI Late Night with Brian Barrett.
He's an extremely hard worker. Nobody works harder than Cam does. He's here early, he stays late, and he works very hard. Based on what I've seen, I would put him in the top echelon.
Both these guys have a chance to be really exciting players. Hudson Potts is primarily a third baseman, although he did see some time at second base last summer as well. A big physical kid with a lot of power and a good arm. Jason Rosario is a top flight athlete who profiles as a true center fielder and a true leadoff hitter. Plus runner. Has a really advanced feel for the strike zone at a young age. You know, you'd love to accumulate as much pitching as possible, but at the end of the day, to do what we're trying to do over the time period that we're trying to do it, we just need talent. We need talent throughout the system. We need waves of it.
All right, welcome in. I'm with you until midnight. Man, a lot of stress going on right now across the New England area as the Bruins and the Lightning, you're driving around. It's 2-2 right now in the second overtime. So this was the upset of the century tonight. The Red Sox game actually ended before the Bruins game. Now, I understand that the Bruins are now in their second overtime, and the game is 6 minutes left in the second overtime. But still, the Red Sox actually finished their game tonight before the Boston Bruins did, which was a shocker to me. If you want to join us, the number to do so, 617-779-7937. And as I say that, unfortunately, the Bruins season just ended, as Victor Hedman scored in the second overtime to make it 3-2. So Tampa Bay will move on.
You jinxed it.
I did. I certainly did, as the Lightning just knocked off the Bruins 3-2. Now, tonight's game was not on Yaroslav Halak. No doubt about that. Halak actually played pretty well tonight. You can't put this game on Halak, but unfortunately, this is how it ends for the Bruins. Victor Hedman, who has been killing the Bruins throughout this series, and Halak was screened. He didn't really see it, and there you go. 3-2. The Bruins season ends in dramatic fashion, and unfortunately, too, for the Bruins, is they actually make this a game to get into overtime, and then they lose. And I give Bruce Cassidy credit for this tonight. At least he did a lot of different things. He switched up the lines. We saw Pasternak drop down to play with Krejci, and that gave this team a little bit of a boost, and they put Kasha up on the first line with Brad Marchand and with Patrice Bergeron. But the reality of this situation was, now Halak was fine tonight. Halak is not the reason the Bruins lost this game tonight. They had plenty of opportunities to beat the Lightning in tonight's game, and quite frankly, the Lightning was without Nikita Kucherov for the majority of this game. First period, Kucherov ends up going out of the game where he takes a high stick from Chara. Luckily, the Bruins kill it off because it's a double minor, so 4 minutes in the box for Chara. And Kucherov tries to return to the second period. He does, and then he exits, and he never comes back into the game. So they didn't have the Hart Trophy winner. They obviously didn't have Stamkos. They did get McDonough back in the lineup tonight. But if you look at what this Lightning team was up against this evening, the Bruins, the more desperate team, they took it to the Lightning in the first overtime. No doubt about that. The Bruins were the better team in the first overtime. But without Nikita Kucherov on the ice, the Bruins losing this game, it's just completely unfortunate because you win tonight. We have no idea what the status of Kucherov would have been going forward, and we'll see as the Lightning move on what Kucherov's availability is going to be for Tampa. But more on the Bruins side of things, you had an opportunity to get back into the series, and you just let it slip away. The Bruins have plenty of opportunities in this game. Plenty of opportunities in this game. In fact, for the majority of it, they were the better team. They just couldn't finish. Vasilevsky is really the reason the Tampa wins this game tonight. It wasn't as if the Tampa Bay took it to you like Tampa Bay has been taking it to you for most of the series, but unfortunately, this is what happens. When you play so poorly in game two of the series, when you don't show up for game three of the series, and then we saw what happened the other night as well, this is how it ends for the Bruins, is you don't have that margin of error where the goaltender on the other side was playing so damn well for basically this entire series. He ends up with 45 saves on the night. Halak ends up with 32. So the Bruins were taking it to Tampa, but the reality is Andrei Vasilevsky was just better. He was just better. In this series, he was just better than you. You could not get the puck by him. You think about the math in this. The Bruins, over the last, what, 9, 12, I guess we'll call it 14 periods, because this is almost a full period. The Bruins have scored 4 goals in the past 3 games, and that had 2 overtime sessions if you add in the games tonight. Now, unfortunately for the Bruins, this series was lost before tonight. This series is lost because you fell down 3-1. And I give them credit for fighting. They didn't lay down, etc. But now we start to think about it. What happened in the prior games is what cost you in this game. Because now you're done. Now your season is over. And the large portion of that, you put on what happened in previous games. Like you lose 7-1 and you don't show up against Tampa in what? Game 3 of the series. Don't show up for that one whatsoever. Then you go back to the other day, where in that particular situation, a guy that wasn't in the lineup tonight because he was dealing with some type of injury, although who knows if that really was the case, Nick Ritchie was out of the lineup tonight. And what do you know? Jack Stadnica played a lot better. Stadnica actually played well tonight for the Bruins. The reality is, if they decided earlier on in the series, and I know that it wasn't a situation where they decided to go away from Ritchie, apparently he was dealing with something, but Jack Stadnica gave him a little bit of juice tonight. So my whole issue with Bruce Cassidy is not tonight. He actually coached a good game tonight. I actually liked what Cassidy did this evening in terms of switching up the lines. It worked. It gained some momentum at times where if you think about how Cassidy went about his business tonight is dropping a guy like Pastrnak down and creating more opportunities, right? The third line was significantly better tonight. They seemed to find something. Coyle played well. But the problem for Bruce Cassidy is it's too little too late. So this series was not lost this evening. It was lost prior to this evening. And that's the issue I have. Cassidy making these changes, it was too little. You should have been doing this before. And the changes he made for Game 3 were just dumb. They didn't make any sense to me whatsoever when in Game 3 of the series, you're going with 7 defensemen. Why? Why do you need to get 7 defensemen out there? It made no sense to me whatsoever. And then you start to think about the fact that Bruce Cassidy, there's only really been a couple of times where I was upset with this coach in particular. For the most part, he's done a really good job here, right? But what I didn't understand is the other night, after Nick Ritchie takes the 5-minute major, why he's sticking up for his player after the game. And it feels like what the Bruins were trying to do with Nick Ritchie is they felt like, all right, last year in the Stanley Cup final against the Blues, we were in a situation where they were more physical than us. They were the bigger, tougher team. And with this Bruins organization, how many years have we seen this Bruins team be the bigger, tougher team, right? So it had to have been awfully difficult for Don Sweeney and company to look at his team and say, hold on, this team is actually bigger than us. This team is actually tougher than us. And that's the reason we lost the Stanley Cup final to the Blues. So they must have thought going into this season and when they got to the trading deadline, hey, we need that physical presence. And it felt like they were so committed to having that physical presence on the ice for most of this series and Nick Ritchie until he didn't play tonight. And I don't want to give the coach credit for this because it may just have been an injury situation because we found out that he was a game time decision. So it may just been they had to go with Stadnica over Nick Ritchie just because of the fact that Nick Ritchie was unavailable. But it feels like the Bruins felt like, okay, because Tampa is this physical team and they brought in Maroon, etc., And Tampa over the past few years has become more physical. It felt like the Bruins felt like, okay, we need to try to match that physicality. That's not who the Bruins are anymore. They're not the big, bad Bruins anymore. They're not this physically tough team. Yes, they're highly skilled, but they're not what they used to be a couple of years ago. So this idea that they have to keep putting Richie on the ice until finally tonight he doesn't play, that's where I feel like the series, a lot of it goes on that. Now, Halak was not good in games 2, 3, and 4. He was really good tonight. But when you look at Halak, yeah, there was issues with him throughout the series, but he was fine tonight. But the problem is, as a coach, you have to realize that Nick Ritchie is not bringing anything to the table. And when I look at Bruce Cassidy's idea or his commitment to the player and his commitment to keeping that guy on the ice for those 3 games, it really hurt this team. It really, really hurt this team, because if you start to think about the 5-minute major he took the other night, and when he takes the 5-minute major, Hedman gets a nice bounce there, a lucky bounce, and they end up taking a 3-0 lead in that game in terms of what happened and what transpired in game 4. And that really puts you out of that one, where you're not coming back from a 3-0 deficit against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah, you scored later on in the game in the power play, but when you're in a situation like that, you're not coming back. You're not coming back against that Tampa team in particular. And so I just really don't understand what Richie brought to the table throughout the series, besides he was actually hurting the team. It's one thing to have a goon that doesn't actually hurt the team, sticks up for his teammates. That's what Bruce Cassidy kept referencing. That's all well and good. But when he's actually hurting the team and he doesn't bring anything to the table offensively, there's just no point to keep having that guy on the ice. And you actually saw it tonight with Stanika on the ice. He gave them a little bit of a boost. He gave them some energy. The Bruins played significantly better tonight than they have since game 1 of the series. And that's because they had a better offensive team out there rather than just having this goon on the ice and Nick Ritchie. And unfortunately, the Bruins didn't get Stanika on the ice until game 5 of the series, and it's too little too late. Not to tell you they win the series with him, but they're in a better position to win this series if Nick Ritchie wasn't on the ice for the majority of the series. So the other thing I would mention is this. If you compare the two teams, right, and we say this about basically every series the Bruins go into, the perfection line has to be the best line. Well, now we've seen it for 2 consecutive seasons. Not 1, 2 consecutive seasons. When it mattered the most, the Bruins' best players were outplayed. There's no way around that. There is no way around this. When the Bruins' best line met a team that had a capable line to go up against the perfection line, what happened? Well, that line outplayed the perfection line. You go back to the Stanley Cup final against the Blues a year ago, what happened? Ryan O'Reilly was the best damn player on the ice, and nobody can dispute that. Not even the biggest Bruins homer in the world can dispute that. And then you start to fathom what happened in this series. Well, okay, you come into it, and Tampa doesn't have Steven Stamkos to begin with, right? They don't have Stamkos. So what happens? Oh, Palat catches fire. Had another goal tonight. 5 goals in 4 games for Palat. Not to mention the fact that Braden Point, in my mind, was the best player in the series. Nikita Kucherov, the Hart Trophy winner, had a good series up until tonight because he goes out with the injury. So they lose Stamkos before the series even begins. He didn't play in the first series either, obviously. But Kucherov, they lose him in the middle of tonight's game. Not to mention McDonough goes down for a little bit. He misses, 3 games? So Tampa was dealing with all types of injuries. And the reality is, Palat, Kucherov, Braden Point were better than your guys. They were better than Marchand. They were better than Bergeron. They were better than Pastrnak. That's what happened in this series. For the 2nd straight year, your top line wasn't good enough. Your top line wasn't good enough to win this series. See, I understand that what most people are going to do is they're going to come back and they're going to look at this series. And what's going to happen, I'm telling you, I guarantee you what's going to happen. On this very station, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen over the next 24 to 48 hours. People are going to continually come back to the Tuca conversation and talking about, oh, what if Tuca was here? What if Tuca actually played in the series? Okay, I understand that is a narrative that's going to be out there, but you know what? I would entertain that argument. I would entertain that theory if the Bruins didn't score over the past couple of games 1 goal in game 4, 1 goal in game 3. The reality is, the perfection line, the second line, now Krejci played pretty well throughout this series, but for the most part, Jake DeBrusk was invisible. I know he had 1 goal, but he was pretty much invisible throughout this series. So what you're looking at here is I would entertain that Tuca thing if you were losing games 5-4, if you were losing games 4-3, 6-5, right? Like, if these guys were actually skating well, these guys were actually playing well, and they were scoring with Tampa, they were going back and forth with Tampa in terms of the scoring, then I would entertain that. But even if Tuca's here, if you're not scoring against this team, you have no opportunity to win whatsoever. So you can blame Tuca all you want. And I know that Tuca's an easy person to blame because that's the reputation the player has. You go back to 17 seconds against the Blackhawks, right? All the way back in 2013. We go back to last year, Game 7. He couldn't steal you a game, or he couldn't win the game on his home ice when Jordan Binnington, who is playing in the AHL before the new year last year, comes in and he wins Game 7. He outplays Tuca. Now, when you look at this series, yeah, it would have been nice to have your Vezina Trophy finalist, but I don't know how much of a difference Tuca would have made in this series, considering the fact that it wasn't as if the Bruins were able to score on the Lightning. Vasilevsky was turning everything away, and those big defensemen, the Bogosians of the world, the Hedmans of the world, they gave the Bruins all sorts of trouble. The Bruins couldn't figure it out. They really couldn't figure it out in terms of their ability to create scoring opportunities. Now, they did a better job of it tonight, but they did a better job of it tonight after they were already down 3-1 in the series. And now the question starts to come in with this Bruins team. It's not just about this year. It's not just about this year anymore. It's about the future of this organization and where they stand right now. Because you're really starting to think about it. Bergeron's 35. Krejci's 34. And by the way, Bergeron did not look good at all in this series. He really did not look good. Krejci looked a lot better than Bergeron did. I don't know what Bergeron did in this series. He didn't step up at all. Just like last year in the Stanley Cup Final, I know he's battling an injury. He did next to nothing in the Stanley Cup Final last year. Okay? So then you start to think about Chara. That could have been his last game of the NHL. Doesn't look like he has a lot left in the tank. This is not a whole indictment on Chara. I'm just telling you the observation I made of the player. We're all going to love him here forever. The guy's been a great player, been a great captain and all that, but this is the end of the road for Chara. You would expect that in the coming weeks, we're going to find out whether or not this guy even wants to return to the ice. And I don't believe the player is going to be back. It looks like he's on his way out. That's how I interpret it. Now, I don't know what his individual decision is going to be and what that process is going to be like, but Chara looks really, really slow when you're playing a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you until midnight. What do you make of this for the Bruins as they go down 4-1 to the Tampa Bay Lightning? Second time in 3 years this has happened. Let's go to Sorgia in Mansfield. What's up, Sorgia?
What's going on, Brian?
Hey.
A couple of quick points here. Yeah, you know, obviously losing last year in Game 7 in the Cup Finals, and this year is such a disappointing loss. I really liked how you broke it down because, you know, we might focus too much on Tuca leaving, but he was almost a symptom of a larger problem, I feel like, with this team because there were so many holes on this team and so much inconsistencies. I mean, I was just looking at the stats, and you look at that Game 4 against the Hurricanes where they scored 4 goals in the third period. You know, this team does have the ability to do well. I feel like with this team, just the mindset wasn't there. And I almost feel like when – I think it was Tuca who said, or whoever said it, that, you know, hey, these games don't really matter. I'm just wondering if that was maybe the mindset of the whole team and if that
yeah,
was really
Sorgia,
the
look,
issue
Sorgia,
with that.
Sorgia, look, I think that was the mindset of the team during the round robin. The fact that Tuca said that after a playoff loss, even though he was getting ready to leave the bubble, as we would all find out like 24 hours later, that was a startling comment to make. I don't think the rest of the team had that type of attitude. They played hard. I'm not disputing that whatsoever. They right. brought it tonight. They brought it tonight. They just weren't good enough, and they couldn't get it past Vasilevsky enough times. That's the reality of it. The other team was significantly better than the Bruins. There's no doubt.
Right. So what do you think would be the game plan moving forward? Because we've already obviously seen the last game plan, the last 3 seasons, clearly hasn't been working out.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing, Sorge. I appreciate the phone call, man. That's the interesting thing going forward, is it feels like to me, unfortunately, hate to say it, it feels like the window is shut, the door is shut. The opportunity for this core group of players to actually win a Stanley Cup feels like it's over. feels like it's over to me. I thought it was over last year when they went all the way to Game 7 against the St. Louis Blues. But now it really feels like it's shut. That team on the other side, without Stamkos, without McDonough for a couple of games, they were way better than you. No way about it. No way around it. Now, tonight, yeah, you played with them. And yeah, tonight you were the better team on the ice, and unfortunately you lost. But for this series, does anybody think the two teams were close? Does anybody actually think the Bruins had a chance to win the series with the way they played? They weren't good enough, bottom line. You can say what you want about Halak earlier on in the series, especially in games 3 and 4. But tonight, he was good. He was really good. And the Bruins couldn't figure out a way to generate enough offense to extend this for at least another game, to at least get it to game 6. They couldn't do it. And the reality now is, remember what happened last year. You didn't have to play Tampa. You didn't have to play Washington. And you got easy opportunities against the Carolina Hurricanes and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, your first series against the Leafs was tough. But really, you got lucky last year. And that may have been your last opportunity with this group of guys to actually win a Stanley Cup final. And the fact that this core group of Bruins only got one Stanley Cup is disappointing to me. It's an underachievement to me. Do you agree? 617-779-7937. Is it over now for this group of Bruins as actual legitimate Stanley Cup contenders? I believe it is. If you disagree, certainly welcome to weigh in at 617-779-7937. We'll get you trending in just a second here.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right, I'm with you up until midnight if you want to join us. What do you make of your Bruins going down to the Tampa Bay Lightning for the second time in 3 years? 617-779-7937. Last year, it was more anger. It was more that you were pissed off when the Bruins lost to the St. Louis Blues, right? That pissed me off because the Bruins should have beaten the Blues. The Bruins were the better team than the Blues. They were the more talented team, and they couldn't get it done. Plenty of opportunities to get it done. You couldn't get it done. This year, you're coming to the realization that it's probably over. It feels like when the Patriots lost to the Titans, you knew changes were coming. You knew that a lot was going to go down that particular offseason, but you felt like, all right, you pretty much got all the meat off the bone with that Patriots organization, with Brady and with Belichick. You've gotten your 6 Super Bowls. You felt like, yeah, you've gotten a lot. you've gotten a lot. They left no meat on the bone whatsoever. Even if Brady's back next year, they're not winning a Super Bowl. So even for the people that wanted Tom Brady to remain a member of this organization, they weren't winning the Super Bowl this year. They weren't going to do it. So you felt like you got all the meat off the bone. Won 6 Super Bowls, played in 9. With this Bruins team, it feels like they left meat on the bone. That's just how I feel. Maybe you disagree, but that's how I feel. They left meat on the bone. You really start to think about, all right, yeah, 2011, you win the cup. Have the unbelievable run by Tim Thomas, who was great. And then you go to 2013, and you lose to a Blackhawks team that was the team of the decade. They won 3 Stanley Cups, but still, you should win Game 6, and you're going to a Game 7 back in Chicago, and maybe you have an opportunity to win in that building because all the pressure would have been on Chicago. They were the favorites coming into that series, but you have the 2 goals in 17 seconds against Tuukka Rask. And then you go to last year. And it felt like last year heading into the postseason, nobody's expectations were that the Bruins were going to win the Stanley Cup. Remember, going into last year, it was this Lightning team had one of the greatest regular seasons we've ever seen in the history of the NHL. So it felt like at that point in time, can they even give the Lightning a series? And somehow you catch a break. The Lightning loses in the first round, gets swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then you get to play the Blue Jackets and the Hurricanes, and you're off your on your way to the Stanley Cup final. It felt like, okay, this is a golden opportunity for the Bruins to cash in, and they aren't able to do it. And then this year, they respond. Best season in the NHL, President's Cup trophy, and all that. And then you get to Toronto, and everything goes in a different direction, where you're the worst team in the round-robin tournament. And I give the Bruins credit for this. They told us, Brad Marchand told us, Tuukka told us, Bruce Cassidy wasn't worried. They essentially told us, hey, we'll be ready when the playoffs come around. These are just practice games. Tuukka mentioned the fact, like, what's the big deal? We're going to have to switch dressing rooms. They didn't care about the round robins. And they said, we're going to be ready once the real game starts. And they were. Against Carolina, they were ready. No doubt about that. They were the better team against Carolina. They win 4-1. And then you have the whole situation with Tuukka. Although this is what I'd say about Tuukka. He wasn't in a mental state to actually win for you. He wasn't there. He wasn't there mentally. Clearly, his head was somewhere else. He had issues going on with his family. So clearly, Tuukka wasn't in it. So I don't even know. Like, people say, oh, how much better would have they been with Tuukka? Well, he wasn't dialed in. So I don't know how much better Tuukka would have been in this particular series if his head was elsewhere. So this year, best team of the NHL, have an opportunity to win another Stanley Cup, and you just get demoralized and owned by the Tampa Bay Lightning, and you lose this 4-1. And now you start to think about, all right, what's the legacy of this Bruins team? Yeah, they're really good. They were a really good team for a number of years, and I know they had the one down year in there, but they were always knocking at the door. After 11, they get back in 13. They get back last year. This year, they win the President's Cup trophy. But where does that leave them? It leaves them with one cup over this with this core group of players. And to me, it feels like they underachieved. I would say the same thing about the Celtics with Pierce and with Ray Allen and with Kevin Garnett. And you give me all the crap about the injuries, right? And I understand that in 09, they were better than they were in 08. But they weren't able to get an additional Larry O'Brien trophy. That Celtics core group of guys, the big three, when they came together, you weren't just thinking one title. Now, it's great they got a title, but you were thinking more than one title. And they had other opportunities as well, even though after 09, Kevin Garnett was never the same player. In 2010, they go to Game 7 against the Lakers, and Ron Artest hits the big shot. The Celtics couldn't buy a basket, and you give me all this crap, well, Perk was hurt. Yeah, okay, the year before, the year you beat the Lakers, they were dealing with injuries. Andrew Bynum wasn't available. I know it sounds crazy to bring up Andrew Bynum's name in 2020, but Lakers could say that back in 2008 when they didn't have Andrew Bynum. Also, you go to 2012. Celtics have a 3-2 lead against the Miami Heat, the Heatles, with LeBron James and with Dwayne Wade and with Chris Bosh. And what happens in that series? Oh, yeah, LeBron comes in Game 6, doesn't smile at all. That's really where LeBron saved his own legacy, so to speak, or started his own legacy. He comes in, he lights you up, and then you lose when you go down to South Beach to play the Miami Heat. So they only won one. I would say that group underachieved, and this Bruins team, unfortunately, as much as we love these guys, it feels like they underachieved. They didn't get enough out of their opportunity. They left meat on the bone. It feels like there was another Stanley Cup for this Bruins team, and I just don't feel like at this point in time, they're going to be able to compete going forward with this core group of guys? Because that Tampa team is way better than you. There's no disputing that. They were better than you last year. They just, for whatever reason, couldn't figure it out in the first round of the playoffs. And the Bruins, I give them credit for taking advantage of their opportunities and winning the series they should win. But the one series they needed to win at the end, they were unable to get it done. And I think the real deflating and the real disappointing thing about this Bruins team is for the second straight year, your best players weren't good enough. So we can have these whole conversations about Tuukka and everything that happened with Tuukka and Tuukka leaving the bubble. But the reality is your best players were not good enough. Marchand and Pastrnak and Bergeron, they weren't good enough. The combination of Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov and Andrei Palat, who had 5 goals in 4 games, had the first goal for them early on in this game, or in the second period, I should say, early on in the second period. That core group of players, that top line was better than your top line. To the point, think about what Bruce Cassidy did tonight. The name of that line is the perfection line. Bruce Cassidy separated the perfection line. I give him credit for making some changes, and maybe part of it's, all right, let's try to get the second line going. And he puts Pastrnak down with David Krejci, and they played well tonight. But you needed to make a change to your best line. Tampa wasn't making any changes to their best line. They were all good with their best line because their best line was dominant in this series. Braden Point was the best player on the ice. And this is the second straight year that's happened to the Bruins, where last year it was Ryan O'Reilly was the best player. And this time you look across the ice and you can make the argument that the two best players on the series were on the other side. In my mind, the two best players in this series were Victor Hedman and Braden Point, and you could even throw in the goaltender, Andrei Vasilevskiy, was absolutely outstanding. Absolutely outstanding for Tampa in this series. So this is when you kind of know when you're completely outmatched, you're completely outplayed, and your best isn't good enough for the second consecutive season. This is when you feel like, and you kind of have the idea, that the window is getting shut for the Bruins. And then you start to figure in, not just Chara maybe retiring, maybe he calls it a career, but you have to imagine that Torrey Krug's out of the picture next year. Torrey Krug, remember, is about to enter free agency. Not to say he helped himself in this particular series against the Lightning. Krug was horrible in my mind. I don't know what Krug was doing in this series. He was not a factor whatsoever. McAvoy was by far your best defenseman in this series, and Krug is supposed to be the guy that helps you generate offense. He didn't do any of that. He didn't do any of that in this series. And by the way, the Bruins, really, it was the power play where they were scoring in this series. And I know that they had the late goal with Krejci tonight, but for the most part, it was the power play that did everything for this team. But when the books written about this Bruins, we're all going to remember 2011, but we're also all going to remember 2013 and the Blues series. And it feels like this series tonight is the one that put this core group of Bruins players out. And the comparison that I would make to this Bruins team is the Colts with Peyton Manning, where the Colts won their Super Bowl in 06. Congratulations to them. They should have won in 09. They were the better team than the New Orleans Saints. And they should have actually had more Super Bowl appearances, the Indianapolis Colts. The Boston Bruins should have won more than one Stanley Cup with this core group of guys. All right, how do you feel about your Bruins plus? What do you make of the Red Sox trading deadline? We'll get into all that. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Both these guys have a chance to be really exciting players. Very high upside, both of them. Pretty accomplished minor league players, playing at levels where they're very young last year. We can talk a little bit about each of them. Hudson Potts is primarily a third baseman, although he did see some time at second base last summer as well. A big physical kid with a lot of power and a good arm, really good tools. a chance, particularly as he continues to develop his approach, that he could be a real asset with the bat and also be able to play multiple positions. Jason Rosario, top flight athlete who profiles as a true center fielder and a true leadoff hitter, plus runner, again, really good athlete, very good ability in the outfield, has a really advanced feel for the strike zone at a young age. And we're excited to see how he develops as he grows and adds strength, but he's got the upside to play center every day and at the top of the lineup.
All right, that's Chaim Bloom, of course, the general manager of the Red Sox, talking about the trade he made yesterday, sending Mitch Moreland to the San Diego Padres. Good for Mitch Moreland, too. He gets to play for a contender rather than the dumpster fire that is the Red Sox right now. And at the age of 34, and apparently he's upset. I know he's big in the community, etc., but he gets to go to a San Diego team that's actually competing for something that's a World Series, and rather than play out the string here, it's a good opportunity for Mitch Moreland. It makes a lot of sense. But from a Red Sox perspective, you heard Chaim Bloom there talking about the guys they got back. Hudson Potts, the third baseman, and Jason Rosario, the center fielder. Here's the thing. They are the 16th and 19th best prospects in the Padres organization, which is ranked second in all of Major League Baseball. I love the move for the Red Sox. Nothing against Mitch Moreland, but he's 34 and he's got a knee issue. Mitch Moreland was not going to be part of the next great Red Sox team, so it makes sense at this particular point in time to move on from Mitch Moreland. And here's the other thing I would say about Chaim Bloom. This is where we really start to judge what Chaim Bloom's done as the Red Sox general manager. The Mookie trade, he was kind of hamstrung by that. It's not like he had a choice. Mookie Betts was going to leave after the season. Think about the difference. When he gets to L.A., right away he wants to negotiate a contract, and when he was here, he had no interest in that. Not to mention the fact they put David Price's contract in that deal, so he wasn't going to get great return. But he's going to be judged by Alex Verdugo and Jeter Downs, who could be the second baseman starting next season. And these deals that he made in terms of Brandon Workman and Heath Embry for Nick Pivetta and Connor Siebold. If one of those two guys pops and is a member of this rotation in the foreseeable future, it was worth it for Chaim Bloom, because Brandon Workman was not part of the next great Red Sox team, and I don't trust the guy as a closer. I don't trust a guy that walks 45 guys in 70 innings a season ago. And then the last part of this equation will be the Mitch Moreland deal in terms of picking up a Hudson Potts and a Jason Rosario. And even if you think that there is some redundancy with Potts in terms of some of the guys you have in this farm system already, with the Dahlbecks of the world, who's up right now, had a horrible at-bat in the eighth inning, did hit a home run yesterday, Blaze Jordan, who they just drafted. So when you start to think about it, I don't worry about redundancy, because the deeper you get your farm system, the more of a chance you have to trade for what you really need, which is young pitching. And Connor Siebold fits that category. We'll see what he materializes in. But this is when we start to feel and gain what it is, or start to gain kind of a thought process on what Chaim Bloom is looking for here as he starts to rebuild this organization. Back to the Bruins, as they were eliminated and they are done. It's over. They are not winning another Stanley Cup with this core group of players. I thought that was going to be the case last year, but it's definitely the case now, considering you looked across the ice and saw a way better team with Braden Point and Kucherov, and Palat was great in this series. They didn't even have Stamkos, and they lost Kucherov for the majority of this game. Tampa's just better than you. They're just a way better team than you right now. For the second time in 3 years, they've beaten you 4-1. Your chance to win a cup was last year, and you couldn't get it done. Now we can say, hey, if the season never goes on hiatus, yeah, maybe it's a different story. But this is the same rules that everybody's playing by right now. Everybody's playing by the same rules. You go to a bubble, and the Bruins couldn't get it done. By the way, after the game, David Krejci, it's kind of sad to see this, had his head bowed. He's at the podium, or whatever you call it now. It's kind of a podium, but you don't have media people in front of you. You're talking to the Zoom, right? This is what David Krejci had to say. Quote, it just kind of hit me after the game. The core group. A few of us, we have 1 or 2 years left. And with the pandemic going on, you never know what's going to happen. So it's a little sad right now. Keith Jones, by the way, said that Zdeno Chara, during the broadcast, he said that he doesn't want this to be his last year. I don't know. Chara looked pretty close to done by the end of this. And I wasn't one of these people that was calling them to bench Chara or anything. Hey, I wasn't one of those people. I'm just saying it looks like Chara is pretty much done. Pretty much done at this particular point in time. And then you have to figure that some of these older guys, Bergeron looks like he's starting to slow down a bit. I know he had a good year, But does anybody think he was good in this series against the Tampa Bay Lightning? Does anybody think that he looked like even remotely close to the best player on the ice? No. And that's a concern going forward. How many good years does Bergeron actually have left? One thing you take out of this is at least Krejci looked like he had something in the postseason. He was really good in the Carolina series, and he played pretty well tonight, although that first goal that Tampa scored, he kind of got beat down on the boards, and unfortunately that's when Tampa scored its first goal, the plot redirection on that particular play. But when you really start to think about it, it seems like it's done. And Torrey Krug could be gone after the season, and Krug was horrible in this series. You needed significantly more out of Krug. The one thing that I would say about the coach is I know that Nick Ritchie didn't play tonight, and it could have been an injury, whatever it was. He was a game-time decision. He did not play. His team was way better with Jack Stadnicka on the ice. And you could say desperation, all that. The biggest criticism I have for Bruce Cassidy in this series is sticking with Nick Ritchie as long as he did. He brought nothing to the table. All he did was hurt the team. He didn't play tonight, I get it, and look how much better the team played. That guy was reckless, and for some reason, it's as if he wanted to match the physicality of Tampa. Just live with the fact you're not as physical as Tampa right now. The fact they kept trotting that guy on the ice was an embarrassment. All he did was take dumb penalties. Dumb penalty after dumb penalty after dumb penalty. 9 minutes in the box the other day, and the stupid penalty in Game 3, the slashing penalty, that guy sucks. I'd much rather have Danton Heinen on this team if the other guy that you traded for is Nick Ritchie. At least Danton Heinen doesn't go out of his way to hurt the team. That's what Nick Ritchie did. That was embarrassing. They kept putting that guy out there. All he was is a goon and a dirty player. And the fact that Bruce Cassidy defended him the other night, what a joke. Anyway, I'll be back with you tomorrow after the Red Sox and the Braves. Thanks to Dylan for producing. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.